Welcome once again to the newest edition of 3 In, 3 Out, the most unique Seahawks recap show in the multiverse. I'm your host, Clinton Bonner. Come on out and find me on Twitter at Clinton Bon. I am joined by the one, the only, the great Brandon Schultz, and find him out on Twitter at Seahawkers Pod. Brandon, we are here after a 27-23. I call it we didn't quite roll the Lambs, but we did kind of troll the Lambs and the Rams a little bit. We kind of trolled them a little bit. Well, DK did some trolling, let's be fair, right?
Okay, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out in which aspect they were trolled, but yeah, probably DK would be the majority of that.
DK did the trolling. Gino did the rolling. That's for darn sure. And on 3 In, 3 Out, we're not even going to talk about these big players. Not that much, at least. Maybe they'll come up a little here and there. We got some other pockets, some poly pockets we could talk about. But no. We're not Pollyannas on 3 In, 3 Out. It's the nooks, the crannies, the sober yin, the raging yang. We do it all. And this show is really for the fanatics who want to dive a little bit deeper into the micro moments and the little things and nuances that made the game what it was on the good and bad side of the ledger. We want to remind folks too out there, Brandon, why don't you take this one away? I'm going to get a sip. I came in hot. Tell folks how they could get with us and hang out on YouTube and do all the things live with us, because we're doing a lot nowadays,
man. All the things? I guess I need to recognize all of the things. Yes, if you want to get in the flock, for one, you can go to getintheflock.com. One of those things, $3 a month and above, gets you into our Discord group, where later on in the show, we're going to be reading the ins and outs from our members of the flock. And of course, you can always participate out on Twitter. Follow at Clinton Bond. You can follow me at Seahawkers Pod, but you mostly want to be following Clinton, so you can tweet at him with the hashtag 3i3o. And that way you can be read later on the show as well. And yes, if you're here live, I know we've got almost a dozen folks. Make sure you hit the like button. And if you're here for the first time, subscribe. And yes, you can even join right here on YouTube and help support the show that way. Did I cover it all? I think I almost did.
That's a four bagger, as they say, a four bagger. Me being a Mets fan, I've got the lows of seeing Jacob DeGrom walk out the door, but I've got the highs of Justin Verlander walking through that door. So Uncle Stevie's opened the pocketbooks. I've got my hot stove baseball going, but we're not talking Mets baseball. Not on this one. We're talking Seattle Seahawks victory. It wasn't all great, and that's why this show exists, but it was a W. It was a road W. And Brandon, before we get into it a little bit, there's a couple of things that I did want to just say. Number one, our running game, back on the rewatch, the running game wasn't all that bad. It wasn't all that bad. It was, I think, actually kind of overblown to the negative that we couldn't run the ball at all. Maybe we'll touch on some of that later.
Okay. No, we could. It's not that we couldn't run the ball. It's that we didn't run the ball.
We didn't run often. And when we ran, it wasn't like the Bucs, and it wasn't like the Raiders game. It was better. It was, now again, I know they're hurting and all that jazz. That's all good.
And which aspect of the running game are you talking about? Are you referring specifically to the guys carrying the football?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about defensive running game. No. I'm talking about running the football on offense.
I'm just saying with the offensive line, I mean, run blocking, also not great.
It wasn't terrible. Like, I left yesterday's game in the instant reaction, and in my brain, I was like, wow, we couldn't run the ball at all. Actually, it wasn't horrible. So I just want to kind of go back to the positive that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was upon first blush.
It wasn't terrible. It was just really bad.
it was kind of stinky. Not stinky. Nuosu, darn good. I'm not going to talk about him, but just stood out that much more to get his eighth and ninth sack. The last thing I want to say is that, despite the injuries, the NFL, especially in these, like, these specialized positions, it's full of talent. It is full of talent. You got dudes, the Rams are hurt, and you got guys like, Tutu Atwell and Powell making plays, looking fast. Like, it's like, yeah, no dudes are hurt, but still recognizing that the talent level and the guys behind them, it's still pretty legitimate.
I didn't know Powell was Debo Samuel reincarnate until this game.
Right.
So that was new to me.
Yeah. All of a sudden he's a Debo. Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's just talent in the NFL, which on the rewatch, I'm like, it's important to kind of recognize that. We could get sullen in a win or a loss about we should have beat this team by that much. We should have beat this team by 15, by 17. It's a win. It's a freaking road win in a must-win situation.
It's real hard to win in the NFL. Clinton, it's real hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah, I've heard that once or twice, right? So there's a couple other things, Brand, that I've heard once or twice. The one thing that's coming to mind, but not really sticking for me, is that we don't really believe in a lot of rules on three in, three out, but we do have one. We do have one big rule, but you know me, I have selective amnesia, and here I go again on my own. I've forgotten the one rule. So Brandon, take me home tonight. Please tell the listeners, what is our one rule on three in, three out?
I knew you were going to forget this rule because, for one, it's been a long time. You got to go back before the bye week, before the Tampa game. It's way too long to have to remember rules for this show because there's so few that just doesn't stick in your mind. But when we win, Clinton, we start with an in.
That's the rule. We start with an in. We start with an in on three in, three out. So we're going to get through them all. So why don't we hit that beautiful little whammy and start this thing the proper way on a Victory Monday with an in. All right. We do get to start with an in. And I'm happy about that, Brandon. It's so much more fun. Not only is winning better than losing, because it is. And with that, starting with an in is a heck of a lot better than starting with the out on three in, three out. And we all know why. All right. So here we go. You all know. Well, if you don't, if it's your first time through, then welcome. We like to wet the canvas a la Bob Ross style, applying the liquid white so the other oils stick and pop out. So we're going to wet the canvas for you here. Quarter one, 9:30 to go. It is 7-0 Rams, first and 15. And we're at the Rams 20-yard line. Okay. So Rams are up 7-0. By the way, we should never defer the friggin' football. We're not good enough to do that. We should take the football. Anyway, Geno is sitting in shotgun, K9's in the backfield, and you got Lockett in the orbit motion. Remember the orbit motion?
Ooh,
a couple of weeks back, we talked about DJ Dallas, and then Top Billen was like, oh, that's an orbit motion. So look at me, I'm a little learned. So Lockett goes left to right on the screen in the orbit motion, right? And upon the snap, Fant comes across the line, and the whole rest of the line blocks left, and Fant's cutting across. Okay, so far, so good. So on this particular play, this is nice, man. You got Abe Lucas, who's doubling his guy with Jackson. And then at the, you know, he gets enough foot push. That guy is washed down the river. It's lovely. And then Abe Lucas does what an athletic right tackle does, gets to the second level, hooks around Bobby Wagner. Wagner has nowhere to go, seals him off, and the C's part. This is the first run of the game. This is the Kenneth Walker 30 yards run. Unbelievable blocking throughout the entire line, but also Lucas gets the in on this play because all we saw and heard, and rightfully so, was what Bobby Wagner did to destroy this game. Well, you know what? What I want to do, Brandon, is point out one where he got owned by a rookie tackle, getting to the second level, blowing open a big freaking hole, and, you know, Kenneth Walker III goes for 30 yards without really being touched because Abe Lucas did the thing. Abe gets the first in, and it's against Bobby.
It's against Bobby. The thing with this game and the way that Bobby Wagner played, you had to go all the way back to the very first Seahawks offensive play because, well, technically, I guess the first play was a false start Cross.
Yeah.
But this was the actual first play that they got to run. And this was, the one play that we actually got Bobby Wagner. And so congratulations, Abe Lucas, getting the in. Also, maybe the best blocked play by the offensive line in the run game all day long.
So that's our first play from scrimmage, right beside the cross of Fetty play. And at that point, you know, we're down 7-0 already, right? He goes for 30 on the first play. What do you like as he's scampering out of bounds without getting touched? What are some of like the immediate thoughts going through your head about like, just, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the next 56 minutes?
Oh, yeah. You're thinking that this is going to be a huge Ken Walker day. And I felt like we were robbed of that a little bit with the injury. And hopefully he's going to be better soon.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm with you. I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, he's going off. Like, you know, this is the 153 touchdown game. It's happening.
Well, without Aaron Donald in the middle of the line, it seemed like that was the play, right? You yeah. didn't want to have to worry about Ramsey or the defensive backs for the Rams. Just pound the rock up the middle. And really, they had some success when they ran up the middle throughout the day. So it wasn't all bad, not like the run defense, as Corey says.
Yeah, well, Corey's correct. He says on screen here on YouTube, the running game wasn't as bad as the run defense. And boy, oh boy, Corey's got it right. I do want to point out a small double dip before we get to our first out here. On the same drive on 3rd and 7, now at the 36-yard line, DJ Dallas makes a beautiful chip coming across on Leonard Floyd. And I point out that play because that's when Lockett sneaks out and Geno puts the ball over Bobby Wagner's head, who didn't get deep enough. He didn't get deep enough.
We got Bobby twice.
In the opening drive, Bobby got twice. And I'm not, you know, hey, listen, Bobby, he had a good game. Tip the cap. Like we talked about.
I mean, that's why it's fun to have to point out some of these plays, because he did have such a big day, really, that, you got to go back to the first drive and point out to where, maybe we got him a little bit.
We did get him a little bit. We got him two times, but Lucas gets the first in. Okay, that's the first in, Brandon. We got some other things to get to that weren't so hot, but that's what 3 and 3 outs all about. So let's get on over to out number one, please.
You know, I do like, though, how coming out of this game, I felt like there were so many good vibes between the team and Bobby, and we even saw some of the social media stuff coming out of this that I like to see that.
It wasn't, there was no hate. There was lots of love. You gotta love, like, the call it what you will, kind of the cockfight between DK and Bobby when they go to shake hands and they really, really push each other really hard. And then it's like, are they about to hit? And then it's like, no. Then the love comes out, but they're just kind of hitting each other. Like, you know, I'm the alpha. He goes, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of the alpha. So they both strutted their stuff a little bit, if you will, pushing each other, but in a way that bros will push each other, especially when we're talking about alpha bros like this, who are elite level athletes. But it was cool. It was cool to see. I heard Bobby was in the locker room, and, you know, it just good vibes. And obviously the relationship with Coach Carroll and Bobby is legitimate and carries over. We talk about it actually quite a bit. Culture matters. Pete Carroll for Coach of the Year, because he's a culture dude, and we're 7-5. Okay. We're not 7-5 because of some of this run defense. We've heard about it already in this, and we ain't wrong. It's glaring, and it has to be called out. One of these in particular, really, really, I don't know what's happening on some of these plays. And, you know, not being an X's and O's guy per se, but being able to go back and watch me, like, well, why wasn't that guy remotely there? Like, it seems like he should have been there, and he ain't. This is one of those examples. So it's Q1, about 1:33 to go in the game. It's 10-7 Rams at this point, Brandon. And the Rams have the ball on their own 15-yard line. It's a 2nd and 9 play. Okay. I think it's Atwell. It might be Atwell. It might be, it may have been, who did we mention earlier? Might have been Powell. But one of the smaller receivers is going motion right to left, and Wolford's under center. Cool. He snaps it. Nuosu just tries to get upfield. Like, he just tries to get around the corner, which he's playing edge totally fine. He's like, trying to go at the quarterback, but it's a handoff. All good. So there's innately a big hole there, which is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. Nice big gaping hole. But if you watch this thing on the replay, Brooks on the snap literally jumps inside. It's like the Rocky Horror, you know, picture show there, man. Like, he takes 3 steps to the right, man, on the hike. And so much so, he is going so far right that he almost crashes into Barton, who, to his credit, read the play correctly. It's a handoff, and he is, and Brooks is taking himself out of the play. I don't know why. So much so that it's the right guard. His name's Shelton, number 65. Doesn't even have to move to block Brooks. He literally goes upfield like half a yard, gigantic hole, Brandon. And in this case, I think it was Akers, scoots through. It's a huge play. And it was just like, it was emblematic of just running, run defense woes, and going like, what is he seeing on that particular play? So give it up to Brooks. Brooks had some nice plays later, Brandon, but that was, to me, was like, ooh, that's a bad moment, man. And we had a lot of those again with the run game. And this one was just a really good example of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, on this particular play, it seemed like it was off from the jump just in terms of Nwosu maybe expecting a pass, because he was lined up in that wide nine type spot, like really far off of the tackle on that left side. And so you would expect that if it were a run play, that maybe the linebackers would shift over. You know, they would jump to the left before taking the step to the right. if we're doing the Rocky Horror lyrics,
correct?
It's a little bit. I don't know when it comes to Pete talking about fits in the run game, if this is the type of situation that he's referring to, if they need to maybe play, you know, more conservatively as if it were a run play, and then you have Nwosu lining up more. You know, off the shoulder of the tackle, and then that way he can drive him back a little bit while still setting the edge, but making that hole, that gap there between the tackle and the guard, a whole lot smaller. Because it seems like when we've seen so many of these big run plays, it's because the edge rusher is lining up so far outside, it creates just a huge hole that you could drive a car through, and even Cam Akers can manage to not get touched.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to listener on Facebook, doesn't feel like the run defense is a nook or a cranny, but when you talk about the alignment and the way the defense is approaching these, especially on second and nine, I would like to see that maybe tightened up a little bit. And again, against a team where you know that it's primarily going to be a running type day. Yes, we saw Wolford instead of Perkins, but still, it's not like you have that much to worry about in the passing game with Wofford.
Yeah, not too much. I mean, they did, but your point is really, really well made, that it is second and nine, and Nwosu clearly looks like he's just going to blitz the quarterback. That's you know, they think that's okay. You could guess pass, right? That's fine. With that, like you said, though, the C's parted. It's like, well, wouldn't the linebacker shade this way? Like if they're knowing, hey, we're gonna run this as if it's a pass fit. So it was just a little vexing to the Facebook user. We don't know who you are, because it just comes in as Facebook user, unless Brandon knows. I hear you. That run defense, nary a nook or a cranny, but it was the moment of Brooks jumping inside. We're going, what are you reading, dude? By the way, do you know who makes that tackle about 11 yards, 12 yards downfield?
I think it was a combined tackle with Jackson and Cody Barton.
It's mainly Cody Barton. Jackson would have been there for sure, but it's Cody Barton. Cody Barton read that. I'm not a Cody Barton truther so much, but I do like to point out areas where people, I think, dump on him, and I don't think it's totally right.
That was not his side to and his responsibility at that point. Yeah,
he was a lot closer to it than Brooks was on that play, which is saying something, because he's on the right hand side there. Hey, Brooks did, I'm not gonna turning it out into an in a little bit without giving away any other stuff. Brooks did have some other nice moments. He filled some other gaps. He obviously disrupted the game. He had a pretty okay game when it was all said and done. With that, this one bugged me. And it was early still, where it's like, are we going to show up at all today? Are we going to stop the run at all? Because we still got some teams to play this year that can run the ball even better than these Rams did. So that's the first out. All right, we got more, Brandon. We got four more to go, four more years. Let's get to that next in. What do you say?
I say it by hitting the button.
Look at that. You just make the little thingy. Oh, by the way, there was somebody out on YouTube, and whatever, all comments are nice. Like, bring the comments are good for the algorithm. So bring the comments.
Why you got to hit the button every time? Yeah,
exactly. So good, bad or ugly comments. Somebody on YouTube was like, oh, why do you got to hit? Yeah, why do you got to hit that button every time between the ins and outs? And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think we answered in particular, but it's like, well, it's our show. We're going to hit the friggin' button if we want to hit the friggin' button. It's the whammy, you know, listen or don't. What can I tell you?
How else are you going to know when we've transitioned from an in or an out, especially when we layer multiple ins, we turn ins to outs and outs to ins. It's the only way to make it make sense for us.
It's the mental Zamboni that I think we all need. All listeners need the mental Zamboni, and it is what it is. So, thank you for the comments, and you can kick rocks. All right. So it is now quarter two, 9:05 to go. It is 14-10. Seattle is winning. We are on the Rams are on their own 30, and it's 3rd and 5. So Rams ball, 3rd and 5. Wolford's in shotgun. We got Rams with trips left and Van Jefferson ISO right. This is a three-step drop by Wolford. He locks in on Van Jefferson. And the in was specifically for seeing Trey Brown just do his thing out there. I don't care that he gets the flag. He arrives a tiny bit early. So what? So what? It's the anticipation. If you go rewatch that particular play, Wolford is just about to get to his back foot. And Brown is breaking on. He's like, okay, I got ISO over here. The guy's going to the sticks. Brown is there to disrupt a third down play. He wasn't about to give it away. And we've seen not just this year, but the Trey Flowers years and all these other times where we just give so much freaking cushion on these third and five, go to the stick turnaround stuff. I love what I saw from Trey Brown. It's okay that he was a little bit early because next time he won't be. So even on the PI flag, seeing number 22 back out there, he's getting an in for me. Probably the first time ever that a dude drew a penalty and gets the in on 3 and 3 out.
Yeah, well, while we're at it, why don't we give an in to Tony Jones for a catch that he made while going to the ground and being down on the ground before giving it up to Bobby Wagner? We can give away all kinds of ins for penalties. But I do actually approve of this because I would say 40% of the time that's not a penalty with that bang, bang play with Trey Brown. Yes, he did get there early.
It was early. Yep.
But generally, it's so close that sometimes officials are going to let that go.
Yeah, that is also true. You know, it's just sometimes you got to hit a dude and you're a little early and that's okay. Because what it will do is hopefully shut that down next time. All you got to do is sometimes like make a quarterback. Now, you know, it's going to be hard to make a quarterback like Mahomes nervous to throw that again. Probably not going to happen. Or he just, you know, he'll scramble and get it a different way. But a dude like Wolford, you put it on tape, you put it in his face that, no, I'm not giving you that. You're not just getting the soft third and five cushion. You got to work a little harder. You got to try something else. So I don't know. You got to go try the other side of the field. And we saw how that played out. So maybe the yellow flag hits the ground, but I think it has a bigger impact than just that moment. So I am hopeful that Facebook user approves that this is a nook and a cranny to make up for my ways.
Well, that's one of our members of the Ring of Honor if they're coming in as a Facebook user. So correct. they know you well, you know them.
Oh, I
well.
I probably love them.
And yes. It's all in good fun. Oh, so I would agree with you in the sense that it gives them something else to think about. But I think the person that's going to be thinking about it the most is the receiver, not so much the quarterback, because they have to worry about, hey, when I catch this, am I going to be getting a shoulder to the back as soon as I'm getting this football? And that could result in maybe a drop later on.
Yeah. Or like a really bad injury. Be like, hey, look, Marquise Goodwin, he catches hospital, which he tries for hospital balls on the regular. So he's got some gumption to him, which is quite good. Why don't you take that away from Jeremy on the screen there, Brandon?
Yeah. Jeremy says, I still have hope for Brown to lock up that other corner spot. Not a bad knock off the rust game. And yeah, we got to see more snaps. It was, let's see, in terms of snap counts for this particular game between Brown and Michael Jackson, just taking a look here, 15 snaps. So 23% of the snaps went to Brown and 49 snaps, 77% went to Jackson. So probably two or three series. I know one of those series was relatively short. So we got to see him make a couple plays out there and got to see him on special teams at least once. And yeah, it's good for Brown to at least have some of that competition. Shoot, we've been seeing that competition go at the right guard spot between Gabe Jackson and beefy boy Phil Haynes now for several games, I feel like.
Yeah, something's happening with that. Something's happening there with that one, Brandon. Back to the woes of that offensive line. All right, good stuff though, and I love the live contributions. All right, we got the next out to get to because we're gonna go right to the offensive line on this one because it's a little woeful. It was not all roses, people. It just wasn't. Great win. We love a win. You know, God loves a terrier. We love a win, but this was a little ugly at points. All right. Q2, 14-13. Now there's 55 seconds left in the half. We get the ball back. We're starting at our own 25. This is after the Rams just kicked I want to say this is one of their longer field goals. I forget if this is the 54-yarder or not, but regardless.
54 Rams yards,
kick, yeah. Yeah, that was a big one. Okay. Rams kick a long field goal. We get the ball to 25. It's 55 seconds to go, and we're like, all right, hey, you're at 25. So you start doing the mentals, right? You're like, all right, we get 40, 45 yards in the next 40 some odd seconds. We're spiking the ball. We got a shot at a Jason Myers and get up four and get the ball back. And then I'm not yelling about deferring the football. Very first play in this drive, this is where Charles Cross gets, it's not even like worked or he just gets beat. And it's not like he's beat. The guy's not super bendy. The guy doesn't slay him, like just sled him back. He just kind of goes like hybrid, a little bit bend, a little bit bull rush. Nothing special that I saw after watching a couple times. And Cross gets beat really badly for an ugly sack in a place where you don't want to take a sack. Kills any bit of momentum. But I have a couple of pop quizzes for you on this one, Brandon. Do you know who the sack getter was? Do you know his name?
Yes, it's the guy of the Brown Bears that I think that we were talking about in the postgame show that you were, I don't know if you were trying to come up with his name. I wasn't quite getting it, but he's the new biggest superstar of the Rams defensive line, Michael Hecht.
Yeah, and I found out it's pronounced Hoyt. Hoyt. Which I don't know. H O E C H T makes a Y sound, but go on. However, from what I understand, it's Hoyt. So not only so here's a couple of fun. So I did a little research, Brandon. Here's a couple, at least two fun facts on why this is egregious. Number one, he went to Brown. Okay, so as if Wilson Kahn, the Princetonian himself, is lining up and getting a sack in the NFL. This guy from Brown beats our ninth overall pick in a high, you know, high charge spot here. That's number one.
Right.
Number two.
Do you know Hoyt's draft position offhand?
No. Give me that if you got it live. Was he UDFA?
He was UDFA.
Yeah. Okay. So he's a UDFA. So good for him. You know, make it the NFL. It's his first sack of the year. Second fun fact. Third fun fact. He's Canadian.
Oh, these aren't fun facts at all.
Canadian American Ivy League beats Cross with 55.
And it wasn't just on this play either. It was five pressures on the day by, I'm going to struggle to pronounce his name every time.
Billy Hoyt. Yeah. I mean, hey, to his credit, he had the day. If you want to remember who else he is and was, he's the dude who somehow broke physics. He sacked Geno and the ball went 20 yards that way, but it was a fumble. It really was a fumble. So he had that play as well. So, hey, maybe the dude's a player and they found somebody, but I'm still pissed at Cross.
Maybe because he went to Brown, he could break down the physics of how that play actually happened.
It's got to be something there. So smart fella. Now he's got two sacks in his NFL career. Second year guy from Brown, the Canadian, Michael Billy Hoyt. He could place the big O on Cross for that one. Not good enough. That's the out, Brandon. All right, now we're back to the fun one. The third in big one, big one here. Q4, 11-14 to go, 17-16 Seahawks. We talked about this game being stupid close in all the preview shows. We're nervous. This might be close. It shouldn't be close. It's probably going to be close. It was freaking close. So 17-16, we're basically right at midfield. And this is a second and one play. Might be my favorite play of the game, maybe. Maybe some foreshadowing. We got Geno under center. And now we got Tony Jones, whatever he is, the 17th. He's in the backfield, you know, 5-6 yards deep. This is a particular play where, once again, we mentioned Gabe Jackson earlier. In this particular play, Gabe Jackson loses by about a yard and a half. He is pushed directly back, about a yard, maybe a smidgen over that. And to the point where... is it Tony Jones, right? Tony, that's the first name. Okay.
Yep.
So Tony Jones runs into the back of Gabe Jackson, who's getting sledded right back to him. Now, he doesn't butt fumble like Mark Sanchez, who, by the way, is a pretty good color man. I owe him an apology for my earlier assessment. He's pretty good. Jones bounces it out to the left and then has to like sneak back. Blythe, who's essentially trying to tackle him also, because he's also in the backfield, and he's still... guts it out and gets a huge first down, gets like a 2 yard gain out of something that probably should have been a TFL for at least a yard, if not 2 or 3 yards. So first down on that particular drive versus third and three, third and four, where you have a momentum stopper. I gotta love character players like this. And Tony Jones coming out of literally nowhere and playing well enough to help us win this ball game with a big one here. He's getting a big in from you, Brandon.
I like the in to Tony Jones in this moment because, yeah, you're exactly right. If he gets tackled for a loss, as he well could have, it would have been 3rd and 3 at that point, and then you're counting on Charles Cross to block Lawrence Taylor part 2 and Michael Hoyt, and you just never know what's going to happen in those types of situations. So, yeah, for Jones to get the first down in that moment, it continues the drive. Now they get down to the 11. They aren't able to get into the end zone on this drive, but it does help them get up 20-16 on a Jason Myers field goal. So, yes, they drive down. They have a couple shots at getting into the end zone. I think that actually, you know, going back to Barry, a.k.a. Van T, who came in with a $4.99 super chat, I think it was on this drive where he lists one of his outs, and not to turn Tony's into an out, but okay. Barry has a couple outs here saying Uncle Will having a chance to truck Ramsey, but then deciding to go to the air out, not a created rush scheme for the 3rd week in a row, and out 13 misdirected.
I don't know if the 13 is like a 13 personnel.
That's what I'm thinking. But I did want to point out, because I had a problem with that too. Will Dissly, instead of just lowering his shoulder into Ramsey. Now, Ramsey was going low, but still, I think I would have liked to see.
I remember the play crisply. There's just another dude who I feel like could have done something to help Uncle Will, and his name is Austin Friggin Blythe. Mm. Austin Blythe was, but now to his credit, Austin Blythe doesn't do the dumb thing and doesn't go a yard upfield. He waits the line of scrimmage and he waits for the pass to be completed, so he's not downfield. And then he starts, I'll say, trucking slowly to his west northwest. He's got one dude to go block, and that's Ramsey. Now I understand athleticism. I get it. Ramsey versus Blythe. With all that, dude, just get in front of him. Like make something happen where Ramsey has to at least get around you. Doesn't even do that, and Ramsey has the clear shot at Uncle Will. So. You know, I hear you, but I think you're right that Uncle Will is not into taking shots at the knees right now because he's had his challenges with different injuries.
And getting back to our man of the inn, Tony Jones, he had a 69.1 grade on the day from PFF. So overall, positive, nice grade.
That's the right kind of number. All right. Awesome stuff. So this I put into this, I would call it glorious, but it's an inglorious compilation of, I don't understand, though I'll frame it this way. Sometimes I think Damian Lewis forgot how to play football. I know football.
Not just
hard.
In this game, you mean, there's just times throughout the season or maybe this game in particular?
Well, this game in particular was... bad. This was the game where we're seeing Lewis's back, we're seeing his jersey, and then a couple of particular times on the Hoyt strip sack, which was this a little weird. I'm not sure if you went back and watched it. That's not Charles Cross on the left hand side. Now, okay, it's Lewis out of position, but Abe Lucas was off the field on that particular, I'm not sure, series or play, but they actually moved Cross to right tackle for that play. It's kind of interesting. So I'm like, who the hell is this? I'm like, that's not Cross. I see Cross kind of getting crumpled on the right-hand side. I'm like, well, where's Abe? Abe's not on the field, which was like, something happened. So they moved Lewis out to the left-hand side.
I was trying to figure out what play that happened on because I saw just in the box score, because I was looking at positional snap counts, and I saw that Will Dissly had a 1 in the column for left tackle. So did Will Dissly actually line up as the left tackle?
That might be the same play because I think he is there to start, and maybe he's a lineman for that particular play. And it ends up being Lewis who's trying to fend off Hoyt.
Yeah,
doesn't at all get there.
Hoyt, so it wasn't just a Cross problem on the day; it was actually a Hoyt being awesome problem.
Maybe Hoyt's really freaking good. You know, for those that play fantasy football with the IDPs, go pick up Hoyt because maybe he's the next star.
I think this was his first game officially as a starter coming off the practice squad. He did play a full game the week previous, but I think he's fully elevated now from the practice squad, and this was his his first game.
Well, I mean, hat tip to the young man, because that's a heck of a first NFL game. He gave
two of our offensive linemen outs.
Exactly. He's probably the only person ever, right? So all the Chandler Jones years and everything else have been doing this forever. The Aaron Donald years and all those. And it's of course, Billy Michael Hoyt, who gives us the trouble. And but on another particular play, I think this is the drive that culminates in us going up 20 to 16 we were just talking about. This is when we do a toss sweep to DJ Dallas. And in this particular play, it's the dude Copeland, number 93 on the Rams. He completely beats Lewis down the line. I mean, just beats him to the spot, beats him to the line, and he just runs DJ to the sidelines and makes a tackle like right at the, either a TFL or it's a no gain. It was just like, man, like slowness. Like, and I'm just frustrated. Remember, I started this whole thing by saying the run game wasn't as bad as it seems. Right. And then there were pockets where it was dreadful. So I'm giving DeLu the last out there. Anything you want to say about DeLu or the offensive line or anything else you want to add before we get to some better stuff?
Yeah, I just wanted to run through the grades per PFF in terms of the run blocking and the pass blocking. Because pass blocking, I was a little bit surprised to see. You had Phil Haynes leading the day with an 84.5 grade in pass blocking. These are all pass blocking grades.
Beefy boy.
Charles Cross, they gave him a 78.7. So despite his having to handle LT2 and Hoyt on the day.
Great still name, by the way.
a solid day in pass blocking grade wise. Gabe Jackson, 72.8. Damian Lewis, 72.1. Austin Blythe, 70. So everybody in the green, except for Abe Lucas, who had a 60, which is generally, kind of average, but he did draw maybe the toughest matchup on the day with, having an actual guy, Leonard Floyd, lining up from him. You know, a guy that, and I say actual guy, meaning a guy that we recognize as being a Rams player for past couple seasons. And then, did you want to say something about the pass blocking before I get to the run grades?
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask ask the audience and others to think about this too. Yes. And how much of that is Geno doing really, really smart things in the pocket? Right. Like he threw off a back foot a lot with accuracy. He did the little Brady step up thing.
Took hits with guys like right in his mug.
Oh, absolutely. A flag football, like they're his jock straps coming off and he's still making a throw. Like, so I hear all those grades and I really have to like at least give some of the sidecar credit to Geno being quite friggin' wily in the pocket in this game and escaping things that lesser quarterbacks would just be, running into sacks essentially. So I just want to, I think the linemen in this particular case, Geno a steak dinner, not the other way around.
Yeah. Now bear with me as I try and pick out the run blocking grades, because in terms of the positive and negatives, like I see, these are some of the people that have better run blocking grades than guys who are actually blocking as part of the Seahawks offensive line.
Wow, math. Live math, too. Yeah. Dangerous.
Will Disley, careful. Tyler Lockett. Okay, Gabe Jackson was the highest run blocking offensive lineman with a 61.1. Also having better run blocking grades than actual offensive linemen. Ken Walker III, who was in for a total of one run block snap on the day. Nick Ballore, who blocked a total of once on the day. DJ Dallas, also one run block on the day, grading out higher than our offensive lineman. Marquise Goodwin, Geno Smith. Okay, here we go. Now we're getting into our offensive lineman. Abe Lucas with a 59.7 grade. Oh, and then there's Laquan Treadwell and DK Metcalf with better grade, and Noah Fant and Colby Parkinson. Okay, and now here's our offensive lineman in the bottom four for the day. Phil Haynes with a 45.9, Charles Cross with a 42.6, Damian Lewis with a 38.5, and down at the bottom, Austin Blythe, 31.7 run blocking grade.
That's dreadful, and I realize they're... It's a measurement and all that jazz, right? And there's some subjectivity into how they grade, of course.
Sure.
But that's like stat. That's just like, it doesn't lie that bad. It can't be that wrong. Right. Especially when we see what we saw with our own eyes. Right.
That, you know what, to me, that seems about right.
Yeah, that's bad. You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong. So appreciate you bringing that back in, or like, you know, wrapping that up in a way supported by the metrics, because the eye test certainly told the same exact story. Frustrating. And it's going to be very, we got lots more to cover here, but it's going to be very interesting to see, do we just go full Geno season? You know, I'm sure we're going to not try to, or can we reestablish the run in some ways to keep some balance? Especially when we go play some of these, higher octane teams that are coming up a little bit later in the schedule. So it will be interesting. And in the meantime, Geno's doing his thing. All right. So Brandon, not only do we start with an in when we win, I can remember the rule when it's already been said to me, I'm okay with that. But we also have the lovely Brandon, where you get the extra in, you get to float it my way, rookie of the year style with the broken arm. I'll sit back and then say, float it. Send me that beautiful Brandon. What do you got?
All right. Well, I am going to go to the big play of the game, the one that was the game winner, the throw from Geno to DK in the end zone. But because this is 3-3 out,
I know where you're going. I love it.
Look at the nooks and crannies of this play. And you know where we're going, because it was Phil coming in with the assist and recognizing our tight end. Yes, the wonderful blocking Colby Parkinson on this play, as I think he was lined up across from Leonard Floyd on this particular play. And coming in with just a glorious hold in a way that generally isn't called, because he held so well. But it allowed Geno the time to get that pass to DK in the back of the end zone. So I'm giving the brand in to Colby Parkinson for his blocking or holding or mostly blocking on that play on Leonard Floyd.
Just whatever it was, effective, right? Effective technique. You know, Parkinson has these kind of contributions when we do the 13 personnel. He had his one reception for 12 yards and a big first down. He had some other good blocks, and in this particular moment, he stepped up huge. He did something legalish, and it was great, because it gave Geno that little bit of time to kind of scooch right, and that was nice by Geno. He's you watch the all 22 of the replay, and he's just waiting for DK just to kind of get into a little bit of a zone. And Geno steps up and on the run fires that thing.
I think it was set up that way too, because when you rewatch that play, you see the right side of that line all crash down to seal off that lane for Geno, to whether or not you had Tyler on the right side that could have been an option to throw to short of the goal line. You had someone else going to the corner, and then you had DK dragging across. And so if that play breaks down enough, then it maybe gives Geno a lane to run.
Yep.
Along with all those other options. It was all up to Colby then to just isolate on Floyd to be able to make sure that Floyd didn't get to him.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I thought the same thing. They certainly do crash that way, and just they are clearly trying to create space there. And because in the red zone, we are still... I'd still like us to be a little bit more creative. And of course, we were pretty good in the red zone. We had some ups and downs, but we were okay. But space gets a lot tighter there. So to be able to open up that much space and give a clear throwing lane or the option to run if really nobody's open, then he could take off. Now, Geno's got some big stones on him. Geno likes to try and fit balls into the end zone. We saw one to the back left-hand side that was almost picked. The Noah Fant touchdown where he floats it over the top was like he trusts himself to make the touchy throw to fit it in windows. The bottom line is it's not always going to come up roses. However, he's got the stones to make the throw, and that probably matters more, because without it, a lesser quarterback eats that ball, doesn't try to fit it into DK, where it had to be on his hands and still had to make a great catch. So, I mean, we got through this whole frigging thing. We didn't talk, it's 3-3 out. You know, we didn't talk Tyler. We didn't really talk DK till just now, but we talked Colby Parkinson. So, Brandon, I'm going to say to you, the MVC, the most valuable cranny, mine are fine. but the brand in is what 3 and 3 Out's all about. The MVC, the very real trophy, is going to Colby Parkinson and the brand in. Now we just got to decide when we put the placard, the little announcement on the physical 3D printed brand MVC. Do we asterisk it or let them know it's even more special because it was a brand in MVC? I kind of feel like they should know.
Yeah, and we can also put with the assist from Phil the Protector right on the placard there, just so they know that not only did it come from Phil, it went through me and then through you. So it's like maybe we put like a little hat at the top because it's like the hat trick trifecta of producers here.
I like everything you're saying. I was going to like another hockey type thing with the hat. I was thinking Stanley Cup tiers because there's a lot to this. So we put a couple of tiers on there and then we engrave around the whole story of how make this a really special one for Kobe because, he's not going to get a lot of accolades, but I feel like this MVC should really, really, really kind of outshine the other ones that are already at the VMAC. So we'll make sure Kobe, we know you're listening. We already have the VMAC address. Watch out for your MVC because it's coming at you. All right, Brandon. So that was a lot of fun. But yet we're going to have some more fun because we got one more section to get to. Tell the good folks, what are we doing next?
Yes, we are getting to our submissions from the flock. And as I mentioned before, this is everyone coming in from the Discord via Twitter. It is time now to mention your contributions. So thanks for everyone who submitted this week.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say for one last plea, I'm going to give, is it deference? Is that right? Sometimes I think of words and it's not the, so in the Seahawkers pod Ring of Honor, I had to make a decision to either play Darius, the Ring of Honor fantasy league. We got two divisions with relegation. It's a lot of fun. Ross Bell's the commissioner and Bloomy helps him run it. Another reason to get in the flock is you get opportunities to go play fantasy football with us. And the other day I was like, I'm oscillating between, Sky Moore and Darius Slayton. By the way, I chose stupidly. Slayton played well. Sky Moore barely did anything. And Bloomy goes, you're vacillating. You're not a fan. So you're not oscillating. And I wrote back, I am physically oscillating. You don't tell me. So, but I would love for folks to use the Discord more and more and more and more. So join up, become a member because, it's the easiest way to channel it all. Plus it's part of our game day experience, which is really awesome. Do you want to take Barry's before we get into the sheet?
Absolutely. Hey, you can put your submissions in the Discord, or you can be like Barry, show up live, drop a $1.99 super chat, and we'll read it right off the get-go. And he's not giving the in to any members of the Seahawks team. No, he's giving the in to the Denver defense for giving up a game-losing drive to the Ravens.
I love it. And at this point, we are, if the season ended today type thing, we are the third overall pick because of strength of schedule at this point. That's lovely. Hey, we got more super chats. Might as well take them. Brandon, do your thing with Jeremy there, please.
Jeremy Green coming in with a $4.99 super chat. In Tyler staying on his feet and fighting through contact for a touchdown. Also had a nice third down pickup too. That wasn't part of Jeremy's in there. It's just an editorial comment on my part because it was also awesome. And an out to the front office for letting Bobby go to the stupid Rams. That hurts.
He played well. Bobby did play well. As much as I want to point out everything, Bobby played well. And Amy Holmes saying to Jeremy, 100, meaning, you nailed it, Jeremy. So good work there. All true. All right. So now we are heading into the sheet itself, starting in the Discord. Like I said, Car, she's always doing a great job. We talked about Lockett. She says, Lockett is always consistent in being badass. Yeah, Lockett, we talked about a little bit with Mr. Phil on Twitter the other day about Lockett for me is kind of creeping into my Mount Rushmore of Seahawks. I just have a lot of admiration for that guy. I own one current Seahawks jersey. Oh, that's not true. I have three, but one of them is Tyler Lockett.
he is my one current jersey as well. So yeah, nice. Tyler clearly, and we might have to fight off Car. To figure out who the number one fan is among the three of us, but maybe we won't fight. We just recognize that it is Car.
Yeah, it's like big love. It's a shared thing.
Lloydzilla via the Discord and into second quarter long throw to DK into Will Disley for the block. Managed to move his feet and turn his hips to block the rush and give Gino enough time for the big gain. Yeah, we had some nice tight end pass blocking snaps in this game.
It was great. It was just lovely to see it back into the fold. So, and the great call out by Hugh there, Lloydzilla. All right, we got Frost, who just, if you know who Frost is, then you know who Frost is, and we know who Frost is. So we appreciate it. In, he talks about it, the return of the 3TE package, not LT2, not Hoyt, but the 3TE 13 personnel, saw a bunch of it. And lo and behold, Brandon, the thing that was effective that we just stopped doing when we put it back in, it was effective again. Like, wow, who would have thought?
Do you suppose that it's one of those things that they're, I don't know, now that we're getting toward the postseason, do you think they're just trying some different things to not show all of the three tight end sets as you go in the postseason, knowing that if they're going to win games, that that's how they're going to win games?
Yes.
And that's the only thing I can think of. Why not just do the thing that works all the time?
Yes, I think, but I do think they're constantly trying to put new stuff on film to make you think about it and try and scheme against it. Cause like this week we had some 13 personnel that had like that. We was like the half pistol. So mm-hmm. not the full pistol formation. You had the halfback, if you will, right? The running back, and you had one tight end flanked. And then on the other side of where that tight end was flanked, you had the other two tight ends. So you still have 13 personnel, but not in the pistol, not the full pistol. I'm not sure if that's called a half pistol, but that's what I'll call it. So I think they're just, yes to your question, they're trying to keep continuously evolve it. However, the things that worked, we brought them back and they continue to work and really are core to the offense humming. So don't be stupid. Keep doing with what works.
Chris Boucher, a.k.a. Bobby Boucher in the Discord. In, finally, a blown up screen. Thank you, Quentin Jefferson, for showing us that it is possible to defend a screen pass.
Lovely, lovely cranny there. I didn't have much other good things personally to say about Quentin Jefferson's game. However, that was a darn good play, and that's what this is about. So good job there for sure. All right, we are going to go down to Josh DeHooman. He put into the Discord a Richard Sherman tweet, which was about Tariq Woolen, that said, Tariq Woolen has to be the front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year, rarely targeted these days and still getting books. And by the way, books, I believe he means interceptions. So nice job by Josh DeHooman, because if you could tweet Richard Sherman, then you should do those things. So great job, Josh.
Floctimus Prime with the out, my cause, my cleats, my ankles.
Floctimus. Some cool paint jobs, and I always love a good snarky Keith Kettover. It's one of my faves. So good stuff. All right, we have Design Pete's Beach House, who is Amy, who's with us live. So thank you, Amy. She says, "Out, running back depth." Yeah, we set some challenges. She said, "In, drafting running backs." Yeah, good thing we did. There was also a little bit of a rumor out there, Brandon, that if we make the playoffs, that Penny might be a bit available for a playoff run. That was interesting.
That was very interesting. And yeah, the other interesting thing was with Ken Walker having a jammed ankle. Is like that an official diagnosis medically?
My buddies from Long Island, a text thread I'm on, that's actually a Mets thread, but they're, one guy's a huge Bills fan. Johnny Parmesan's on there. He's a Packers fan. And my buddy Lou sends like a tweet that's like, you know, jammed ankle. Like, he's like, what the hell's a jammed ankle? I was like, Lou, never, ever, ever believe a word of anything that comes out of Pete Carroll's mouth when he's sitting at a podium. Like it doesn't
especially
matter.
With regard to injuries.
Oh, yeah. Especially with her. You know, he's got a knee. If he says legit, we all know, you know, the dude's pretty much done for his career, but he's got a knee. It's a jammed ankle. What the heck's a jam? We'll find out what it is. Hopefully nothing too serious. Unsure if anything has come out, probably not till tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think when we see the first official injury report, it will say ankle jammed, right? In the parentheses. Probably not.
That'd be kind of cool if it did. You know, I'll eat my words. Literally, I'll print this thing and I'll eat them.
Floctimus Prime back in, giving the out to DK, losing the mental battle and contacting Ramsey long after the play. Hey, Keith, I mean, maybe DK's playing chess here, because he ended up getting Ramsey's number at the end.
And it, yeah, yes, he did. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like Ramsey was fully burnt. Ramsey was right there. Geno makes a great throw. However, that was a great, I just enjoyed that battle. And we talked about it on the reaction show. I love seeing DK trying to wave him over when he was in motion. And Ramsey's like, dude, I can't, I can't come travel with you. Although I would like to. So, all right, we have, okay.
I think Jeremy's got it right. Jammed ankle could mean anything from a minor sprain to a torn Achilles.
And not to laugh at a torn Achilles, right? But anyway, we have,
it's somewhere in that range though. It's narrowed down. Jeremy knows how to read.
Yeah. It's a spectrum. Speaking of a spectrum with this particular Discord name, Ovary Smasher 69 says, out Bobby Wagner's day as a whole. So someone was just pissed off and they happen to be an ovary smasher.
Amy coming back in with the in to DJ Dallas, sucking it up and playing hurt.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good call out. Just gutting it out and getting back on the field. Hey,
because hearing from Pete in his on his Seattle Sports hit, it sounded like we were very close to seeing Nick Ballore play significant snaps at running back.
So speaking of Floctimus Prime, he had tweeted like something along the lines of like, let Ballore run the ball, you cowards. And Nick Ballore himself gave him a like, or, you know, hearted his tweet. So
get that hashtag trending and Nick Ballore will show you some love.
Nick Ballore, maybe Nick Ballore should have Floctimus on between two Ballores. That would be fun.
Hey, there we go.
I think Floctimus would succeed on that show because he succeeds in what he does. All right. It's Derek Williamson out on Twitter at Derek W0. He says 3-3 out. Got to hand it to JMy31. That's DJ Dallas and his boots in. I guess he had some cool boots. I didn't see. Oh, no. Sorry. JMy is Jason Myers.
There we go.
The 31 threw me off, but that's our kicker. Great call. He has been money. I will stop there to not jinx anything else, but he's been good, man.
We got Papa Carlito at Soul Rock out on Twitter.
Papa Carlito.
Out to the SoFi Stadium turf. Wobby Wagner is still very good. Not enough glucosamine and chondroitin for her running backs. And the in top three draft pick. Scoring in the last 2 minutes, MVP no game winning drive in your face, Ramsey. And yes, thank you, Papa Carlito.
Yes, Dr. Carlito, medicine woman with all the good things you could shoot up into your joints to not feel any pain. Little Dr. Feel Good for our running backs. We're probably going to need it down the stretch. All right, we are. I'm going to skip Ovary Smasher, but thank you. You're there. Boye's Bob's biceps in. He says, in Tariq. M effing Woolen is effing flawless. Yeah, man. It wasn't just the interception, Brandon.
Oh, no. And even after the game in the press conference, he talked about how he was baiting the quarterback. I think on the interception specifically. Now, Pete Carroll made it sound like Tariq was out of position and trying to recover. And I just wonder on how many of those plays was Tariq maybe, you know, trying to bait the quarterback into throwing that direction and having, because it worked obviously on the one interception and it almost worked on a couple of his other pass breakups too. I mean, if Tariq's already playing at this kind of level to where he is baiting backup quarterbacks into some terrible throws, I mean, you can see why starting quarterbacks like Derek Carr just steer clear of that side of the field.
I think the math is pretty simple there. When you run a 4.26, you are a masturbator.
A what now?
Oh, no, go on. It's cool. Go to Frost.
Okay. In, when we needed our stars to make plays, they came through. Final drive, Geno 6-9 with a huge touchdown. Lockett, huge catch on 3rd and 10. DK, 2 catches, touchdown. Huge drive when we had to have it. In to Barton, sealing the game with an interception. In to Taylor with a 4th quarter final drive sack and an in to Tony Jones, expected to hang out by the Gatorade table all day. Instead, gets into the game and has a few good plays. A lot to expect from a dude who wasn't supposed to play a snap and had a good effort. And just to pile on top of the Tony Jones love, it was on that hit where he drew the personal foul.
Yeah,
he lost a contact lens. And he went into the injury tent and to try, and I don't know if he realized that it was lost, but he ended up taking out his other contact lens. He needs those to drive, so I guess technically he's considered legally blind without his contact lenses, and went out and played the rest of the game with vision impaired.
It explains that drop a little later, that's for sure. Not just the one where he gets his head knocked off. And with that, he also caught the ball pretty well in the backfield. That's why the dude got it in. He came in and played pretty freaking well. So I love that kind of storyline. We needed that dude. And right now we need Jason Turner in the Seahawkers Ring of Honor out on Facebook. He says, Ilan Woolen, DPOY and or DROY, DK 8 for 8 as he dominated Ramsey, Lockett, DJ, Myers, and Jedi Master Nwosu, which I love that. Calling them all out for the in. That's something we talked about a little bit on the instant reaction last night. DK 8 for 8. That is a clean sheet, a flawless performance there. And these were not dink and dunks. These were not, this was tough stuff, man. Lovely.
I kind of like that, Master Nwosu. That sounds like a really solid Jedi name.
Jedi Master Nwosu. Very lovely.
I think we might have to steal that, Jason.
I like it.
All right. Guarantee. There was a lot of stuff to dislike about this game. We should have won no problem with how many people they had playing as backups. The one thing I will say is I'm proud of Geno for commanding a drive to win the game. I'm glad it happened and that I had to eat crow this game. The stat that he had not done it since he played for the Jets speaks for itself.
The one piece, and I love the fact, you know, Guarantee is always out there. Garen's a great dude. He's always out there in the Discord. The one thing I will disagree with is the sense that he hadn't done it. Like the week before, he had a game-winning drive. We just couldn't hold the team from scoring after it. It's not, you know, he couldn't also go play Iron Man football and go stop the Raiders from marching down and then stop them in overtime, right? So he had a late fourth quarter go-ahead score. But now we won the game with only like 30-something seconds to go on the clock, and I get the point. So
And really, you know, if we're nitpicking how we phrase certain stats, he had a game-winning drive in the Giants game because they were tied at 13. With the Giants in the fourth quarter, they drove down, got the go-ahead touchdown, and they never looked back. So that actually goes into the stat book as a game-winning drive against the Giants. But fourth quarter comeback, that's the stat that we were looking for, and that's the stat that he got here against the Rams.
This was the big one, right? This was on the road. I get it. This is the monkey off the back.
It's only his fourth one of his career. So even going back to the Jets, he doesn't have a lot.
Doesn't have a lot. All good. The Duke can rack in now $10 million per each one of those and go get a $40 million paycheck because it's coming. All right, we got Kev in Great Glen. Look at that. After like 7 weeks, I got one right. In, back to starting with a brand in. Nicely. In, a game-winning drive by MVP. No. It's fine that he called it MVP, no, not MVG, no, that's fine. And in, Russ still working on our number one draft pick. And then he says, out, making it too damn close. The thing is, though, Kev, I knew this game would be close, and it was not a shock. I was just so happy that the final result was what it was, because it really, really would have been a much rougher Monday if we didn't pull it out, but we did. We did.
You said that going in, that you would be happy with any kind of win.
Any W.
Yeah. And that's what you got. Marlon with the out. We haven't got to Marlon yet today. And no. Saying that Fant on that first sack ran right past the defensive end and not chip blocking him or anything to help cross. In Fant's defense, he didn't know that was LT2 lining up from cross the entire day.
When you keep saying LT2, of course, I'm thinking of Lawrence Taylor, but I'm also thinking of
Terminator 2.
Well, no, of course. But what's the, that? Yes, that too. But I'm thinking of that he needs his own Kostakos brother poster.
Oh, right.
He needs an LT2 poster where he's a half cyborg, or he's a cyborg and the glowing eye. Maybe it's a brown eye. That probably sounds weird because he's from brown people. And the whole thing is Canadian. So there's like a red maple leaf behind him. We could do a lot with that poster. I feel like we would sell maybe dozens. Maybe.
We need to get John on the line and sell Rams posters.
All right, let's scrap that idea. All right, we're still in the Discord. This is Phil the Protector, 3 feeling good in the Discord. In of all ins, this is the Parkinson block. So actually, Phil, this is the MVC. We already covered it. That's the in. You won. You win the week, Phil.
Scott Harrigan says, in Goodwin doing his victory backflip.
That's fun. The victory formation backflip, is that number 3 on the year, I want to say, that we had a chance to do that?
It's at least two. That I know that we've seen.
I think it was the Denver game to start it, obviously, yesterday. And I think there was one midseason where we had victory formation and Goodwin did his thing. All right. I'm hitting the Enter Sandman button there, a little do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But Brandon, I want you to take you got the MVC. You close this thing out the right way with Hawk Van Dyke. Let's go through his.
All right. Starting out with an in, winning in regulation. We haven't won an overtime game since 2019. Why chance it? In, Master Nuosu was fabulous. I editorial added in the master because I love it. Nuosu was fabulous. He's been every bit the important newcomer as our rooks. Out. Getting the kitties after their bye. Last time that happened was a loss to a refreshed bunch of pussycats in 2015. Going back with the in, 7-5. Is somehow better than 7-5-1 back into playoff position.
Yes, that's a lovely, lovely way to close it out there by Bloomy Hawk Van Dyke. And it was a fun week. It was winning is fun. And it's also, let's just juxtapose this versus some of the ugly wins that we've had in the last, let's say, 2 years or so, where we win a game 17-16 or 14-12. And it's a disgusting last, you know, and yes, we get, you know, Russ gets a chip and he has a drive and yada, 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 but it's gross. We didn't do anything at all on offense. We can't hang when a team actually could put up points against us. We know this team has flaws and I could just accept them all and be like, yeah. And when the kickoff starts and we stop deferring, we could hang offensively with any team in the league. We're not, you know, hey, we might not be going all the way, but we could hang with any friggin' football team because our offense is that good and Geno's playing that level of football. So let's just go. Why stop now?
Bring on those Carolina Panthers coming off their bye week.
Let's go with the pussycats themselves, and they're okay. They got a little bye week. Let freaking Sam Darnold come in and try to win. And Brandon, it's another must win. It's a home game versus a team that's not that good. They're playing better, but they're not that good. It's an absolute must win. Gotta get to 8-5, and I will be out there. So obviously, Brandon, you're going too. Adam will be out there, and for anybody who wants to join us, we'll be putting into the Discord and the Facebook Ring of Honor, where we'll be hanging out post game, and maybe we can meet up pre game. The whole thing. Would love to have a beer and meet some more folks. Met a whole great troop last time. Hope to see some of those faces, and I hope to meet even more of y'all this time, because special seasons equal special road trips, and we're in one right now.
I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.